What about them? I can't understand what you're trying to say to me. I still can't hear a word you're saying. Oh yeah, there's notes in the back if you would like them. They are back there. There will be notes back there from now on. If you need notes, put your hand up. Maybe Sandy can get them to you instead of having a mad rush there. But anyway, we are continuing our study, our series in the study of the church. What is the church? And why is it so important? We took a couple of week break for Father's Day and whatnot, and so we'll get back at it. So today, what we're going to be looking at is the mission of the church. The mission of the church. So far in our series, What is the Church? We have seen the church's founding and its various titles. We've seen the church called the building. We've seen the church called the body of Christ. We've seen the church called the bride of Christ. And we have seen how much the Lord Jesus loves the church. So we should love it as well. But today we'll begin to look at the mission of the church. You know, as we function and plan ministries in our church, a primary question needs to be asked. And that question is, what is the mission of our church? In other words, why do we exist as a church? Do we exist simply so that we can have a place to gather on a Sunday morning because that's what Christians do? Do we exist solely to sit, and which is part of it, don't get me wrong, which is part, do we exist simply to hear the word? So these are things that we will seek to answer. Why do we exist as a church? What are we supposed to be doing? Where are we supposed to do it? And how do we do it? But we can answer, when we can answer these questions, then we know what our mission is. But if we can't answer these questions, how can we know what our mission is? How do we know if we have fulfilled our mission if we don't know what it is? Maybe you were in the military. You know, a lot of times there would be certain missions that military would have, and before that mission, there would be a gathering, and all those involved in that particular mission would know what their target is, and so that they, when they went out, they would know their mission, and they would know what they need to do before they returned home. We need to be careful we don't lose sight of our mission. Can we say, mission accomplished? Or do we hear words like, the mission has been compromised? Or do we hear words, the mission has been aborted? Today, I'll be preaching through our church's mission statement. We actually have a mission statement. You will remember in one of our business meetings, we adopted a mission statement. And everything from this message today comes from that mission statement, because it's important that we know what the mission of this church is. So today I'll be preaching through that and seeing the mission of our church. You know, the mission of our church is to glorify the Lord and be obedient to the Great Commission. That's the mission. The mission of Hill Village Bible Church is to glorify the Lord and to be obedient to the Great Commission. So, just pretend for a moment you hear the Mission Impossible theme song going on. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to know why we exist as a church, to know what we are supposed to be doing, to know where we are supposed to be doing it, and to know how we are to do it. This message will self-destruct in about 40 minutes. So let's follow along in our notes and notice first the why. Why do we exist as a church? What's our purpose? You know, what is the purpose of this church? And the purpose of this church, number one, and always has to be forefront in anything we do, is to bring glory to God. Period. Not me, not the staff, not the church, not anybody in this church, not the Sunday school class, but to bring glory to God. And I quote from our mission statement. HVBC exists to glorify God by magnifying His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, as we are taught by His Holy Spirit through the Word. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:31, in a very familiar passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So, friends, it doesn't matter what ministry we are doing here. It needs to be done for the glory of God. Whether we are teaching a Sunday school class, whether we are preaching, whether we are, as this Friday, hosting the Wilds Day of Camp, whether it's our own teen rally, whether we're sending our kids to camp, whether we're cleaning the church, whether we're cutting the grass, we're to do all to the glory of God. Because this building reflects that to the community. We know, okay, we've already been through this. This building is not the church. We are the church. But the community doesn't understand all of that. So what kind of picture are we displaying to the world of who our God is? To do all to bring glory to God is to put God out front. It's to magnify Him. It's to let people get the proper biblical opinion and knowledge of who God is. And that's very important that we display that to the community so that they know God is there. God is at work there. They might not be able to recognize, but there's something different. These people are not filled with themselves. There's something different. Turn back to the Gospel of John in a very familiar passage. John the Baptist had the privilege of the past couple of weeks in our Sunday school class downstairs to be teaching a little bit about John the Baptist and his ministry as the last great prophet and his pointing to the Lord Jesus, and even losing his disciples to Jesus. But he says in verse 30, he must increase, speaking of Jesus, but I must decrease. And this is how we bring glory to God, by putting God out front, by our decreasing and his increasing. And so whatever we do is for His glory. It's for His honor. No matter what ministry it is. Whether it's our youth ministry, our youth ministries, our young adult ministries, when we have church-wide, whatever the ministry is, our purpose is to glorify God. And we're reminded of this. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. And He deserves all the glory because look what He's done for us. The reason we're gathered here today is because of what He has done for us. So, why do we exist as a church? What is our church, our purpose of our church? To bring glory to God. And if that isn't out front, we have failed our mission. Mission is not, cannot, will not be accomplished. All to the glory of God. But what about the what of the ministry, of our mission? This speaks literally of our mission. What does God expect us to do? Okay? We exist to bring glory to God, but what does God expect us to do? And that is a very simple answer. Make disciples. That's what He expects us to do. Make disciples. This is, again, a quote from our mission statement. The mission of HVBC is to evangelize the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to equip the saint to use their gifts and abilities in the work of the ministry, and to edify the church through both qualitative and quantitative growth. In short, HVBC is actively making disciples. Turn to Matthew 28. Have any of you ever read any books titled The Last Words of, you know, I have a book in my office called The Last Words of Saints and Sinners, okay? And it's famous people in there, some who have been believers and some who haven't, and it's literally their last recorded words, okay? And what we have here in Matthew 28 is not after he not just before he dies, because the last words Jesus said was, "It is finished." But these are the last words Jesus said before He ascended to heaven. So I would say these words are important, wouldn't you? This is what Jesus says, you know, just before He leaves. Think about all the instructions You gave to, maybe you're at that stage in your life, maybe you're not there yet, but there's going to come a day when for the first time you leave your kids home alone. Ooh. And you know, you've got a list this long, but you know, make sure those last words are, you know, they understand that, okay? It doesn't mean mom and dad are gone, free for all. It doesn't mean that. Some Christians act like that. Jesus is gone. We can do whatever we want. But this is our mission, friends. This is what God expects us to do. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So here we have authoritative words from the Lord Jesus Himself. And this, of course, is what we call the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach literally means make disciples. Okay? Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So after someone becomes a disciple, trusts Christ as their Savior, they are baptized to show, they make their public profession. Then, teaching them, the word teach here is a different word, and it means instruction. We would say discipleship. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the Great Commission is our mission. But in too many churches, the Great Commission is the great omission. And for too many believers, The Great Commission is the great omission. In Sunday school this morning, we saw Jesus choosing his first five disciples. And two of those disciples immediately went and found their brother and found their friend. And that's how it's been from the start. Have you told somebody about Jesus lately? Now, we can't make anybody get saved. It's not us who saves them. But, you know, when Andrew and John followed Jesus, and we kind of chuckled at this, you know, they follow Jesus. John points to them. They follow Jesus. Jesus turns around and said, I'm ad-libbing. Hey, guys, what are you doing? What do you want? You know, what can I do for you? And the disciples say, where do you live? So what did Jesus say? Come and see. And then a little bit later, when one of the disciples finds Nathanael, and Nathanael says, can anything good come from Nazareth? You know what he said? Come and see. Come and see. You know, we should invite people. Come and see. We should give people gospel tracts and come and see what the Lord's doing. You know, this is what we are to do. This is our mission. Our mission is the Great Commission. And that's what God has told us to do. Now, what about the where? This has to do with our vision, okay? Our vision, the where. Where does God expect us to do this? Where does God expect us to carry out our mission? Well, literally, everywhere. Okay? You and I can't go everywhere. You and I can't be everywhere. But literally the world. Evangelize the world. Now, you will notice from the last statement, I said the mission of HVBC is to evangelize, to equip, and to edify. And that's what we're going to look at in this section, the vision. The evangelizing the world, the equipping the saint, the edifying the church. So turn to Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. We are to evangelize the world. Acts chapter 1, very familiar, verse 8. Matthew 28, Acts chapter 1, in the same context, the Lord leaving just before he leaves the earth and ascends back into heaven. The same context. So we put these two together in the same context. And verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Okay, we know that this happened in the day of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus says this. Okay, and notice, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So where do we take the gospel? We evangelize the world. And that means right here, our Jerusalem. Okay? And wherever you may live, your Jerusalem. And then you spread it out a little bit, your Judea. You know, maybe we could say the state of New Hampshire. And then Samaria, the United States, the uttermost part, the whole world. We are to evangelize everywhere, including here, our Jerusalem. Evangelize the world. Now, this comes from, again, our mission statement. Evangelize the world through a robust missions program that is centered around church planting. We have missionaries on our board back there that we support that are planting churches in Europe, in Spain, in India, and medical missions helping church planters in Africa, a deaf church planting ministry in Brazil, in Canada, training pastors, training people to be pastors, and of course the Kirby's in South Africa, ministering to the orphans there. But we are to evangelize the world through a robust mission program that is centered around church planting, members of our congregation surrendering to the ministry and missions. Do you know where God calls pastors and teachers and missionaries from? Local churches. Right? Just like ours. Local churches. And here, this again, this comes from our mission statement. Every member actively praying for and seeking out opportunities to share the gospel through personal evangelism, visitation programs like nursing homes, RU, prison, hospital, and door-to-door. We're to be seeking every opportunity in our lives to share the gospel with whomever we meet. And in whatever way we do it. If you say, Pastor, I want to be a street preacher in Franklin, come and see me. Okay? That's a way we can reach. We have opportunities to reach out. But you know what opportunity I believe is the most effective? When each one of us shares the gospel with the people we come in contact with. The gospel on our lips. And lived out. So we are to evangelize the world. Number two, we're to equip the saints. Turn to Ephesians, please. Once someone is saved, it doesn't end there. It's only the beginning. Ephesians chapter 4, very familiar passage. But in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Okay? Apostles and prophets, no longer here, no longer needed. We have the completed word of God. There were, despite what other denominations would teach, there were only 12 apostles. They're gone. Okay. The prophets, we no longer need the prophets. The book of Revelation completed the revelation of God. So we no longer need that. But he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So those who spread the gospel, And then the pastor and the teacher who continue to teach. What for? For the perfecting of the saints. And that word perfecting means equipping. The equipping that we need to do the work of the ministry is done right here in the context of our local church. Through the preaching and teaching of the word, through discipleship training, and a Bible Institute. Our Friday morning theology class that started out with Pastor Nate and I grew to Pastor Nate and Pastor Andrew and I, which grew to Pastor Nate, Pastor Andrew, Kenny Fenn and I, which grew to those guys and Bill Joseph, which I think is going to take another little growth spurt here in a couple of days. So there's training there. And we are, remember the discipleship hour. We changed the name of that discipleship hour. Why? So that we would learn to be able to disciple somebody. We went through that book, not for the sake of going through a book, but for the sake of being burdened this year to be a bold witness. And this year, certain events challenged us on how to be a bold witness. But you know, we still need to witness to people. And more so today because people are petrified. People are afraid. And we shouldn't make light of that fear. But we should talk to them and introduce them to the one who can bring an end to that fear. Be a bold witness. Equipping. Members regularly participating in purposeful iron sharpening. Iron sharpening iron. You know, it's wonderful when members get together, and it's wonderful when members get together, you know, to eat lunch or whatever, but it's even more wonderful when members get together and talk about scriptural things. Hey, how's your spiritual life going? What have you been reading in your devotions lately? What's the Lord been doing in your life? Ask those questions. and turn the conversation spiritual and sharpen each other's iron. Get the stone out and whet it and sharpen your brother or sister's sword and vice versa. You probably don't know what I'm talking about, but anyway. Every member seeking opportunities to minister and serve by creating a culture of discipleship. This comes from our document. Are we doing this? This is the mission of our church. And then lastly, to edify the church. Look at the same passage. Look at the latter part of verse 12. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And edifying means to build up. Every member growing in their personal walk and relationship with the Lord. Literally, this comes from our document, salt and light living that others would see, believe, and be added to the church. So friends, our goal is to seek to evangelize the world, to equip the saint, and to build this church. We build this church qualitatively, in quality by every member growing, and quantitatively by new people receiving Christ. So the numbers are growing. Now that new directory you just got, Sandy just updated that. If you take the Kirby's out that are in Africa, okay, there are 175 people in that. If every person came to church, we would not fit in this building. That's something for us to consider. God is doing a work, and we are growing. We are growing because God is working through all of us. It's not me. It's not Pastor Nate. It's not Pastor Andrew. It's us. And that's how it's supposed to be. And it's exciting. These are exciting days. Friends, these are days where our country is literally coming apart and God is doing a work in a little church in Hill. That's not a little church anymore. And I'm glad to be part of that. And I want all of us to be a part of that as we see our church grow. So this leads to the last point, number four, the how, our strategy. How does God expect us to do this? Very simply, by surrendering to His will. Okay? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about His will. And again, from our mission statement, all this is accomplished through the working of God, both corporately and individually, by surrendering to the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we study and obey the Word of God together. Not my will, but thy will be done. It's not what I want. It's what the Lord wants. And what is... Again, let's go all the way back to the beginning. What does God expect us to do? Make disciples. And we need to be surrendered to that. And friends, when we are surrendered to that, when we do all for His glory, He will honor that and people will come to the Lord. We're seeing it. And the church has to grow. And the church will grow. I don't care that it's 2020. And all my friends who told me back in, when did we leave? 2009, 2010 we came here, right? 10 years we've been here. All my friends who weren't in New England said, you are a fool, literally, for going to New England. That is the graveyard of pastors. Well, I wouldn't mind dying here. But what they were talking about was, that's the end of your ministry, brother. That's the end of your ministry. You're going to the graveyard of pastors. And I say, praise God, because look what he's doing in 2020. In the world that we live in. If you are obedient to God, if you surrender to His will, He will build His church. I believe that. And I don't care what time it is, and I don't care who says we're in a dead church age. We're in the Laodicean age. It's the lukewarm church. Yep, there is a lot of lukewarm churches out there. But there's churches that are on fire. And God can. I believe that. Do you believe that God can? I believe that. And I believe He will. Turn to Romans 12, please. This is so familiar. But do we do it? I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. That word present is the same Greek word as yield in Romans 6:13. Yield your bodies, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. What is the will of God? That none should perish. What is the will of God? That we would make disciples. And when we are obedient to Him, we bring honor and glory to Him. Now, we must always not mix up the two. Number one has to be everything being done for the glory of God. Okay? That has to be number one. And then followed by that is the Great Commission. Okay? We obey the Great Commission because we want to honor and glorify God. Now, let me say something. I know that people are lost and going to hell. Okay? That's not the motivation for our evangelism. It's a motivation. It's not the principle. The principal motivation for our evangelism is doing all to the glory of God. Because God commanded us to do it. That's why we do it. And yes, there is compassion because we don't want to see the lost in hell. But there's that response to God who said, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples. There is a world lost and dying and going to hell. There is. And we have the cure. Our mission is to go and tell them because we want to bring honor and glory to our God. Because you know what brings honor and glory to God? When a sinner gets saved. Because I surely can't take any of the glory. Because I can't save anybody. But He can. And He gets the glory. So as the battles are fought, HVBC must remember, consider, and practice the mission of our church, which is to glorify God and to be obedient to the Great Commission. Therefore, every new idea, every prospective program and potential ministry, as well as all our current ministries and activities of our church, must be examined and evaluated by the biblical mission statement of our church. Turn with me, as we are wrapping this up, to 1 Samuel, Old Testament book, 1 Samuel chapter 4. verse 21. I want to read the passage and then I'll bring it a little bit into context. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Now this was the time of young Samuel, who God was working in his life to bring again Israel to the point that it must be. But Eli was the priest, and his sons were wicked. And on Eli's watch, the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle. And because of a battle with the Philistines, they took the ark, which represented what? The glory of God. And when Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was giving birth, she died, and her dying words were, "Name the child Ichabod. The glory is departed." There are many churches across America where Ichabod is written over the church. The glory is departed. Friends, I want to see the Shekinah glory of God here. I don't want Ichabod to be written over ours at all. But rather, look with me to Psalm 29. Or look behind me, either place. But Psalm 29, verse 2, the Bible says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Rather, though, let us do everything for the glory of God. We shouldn't do things just for the sake of doing them. Why do you have Sunday school? Because we always have. That's not the answer. Why do we have Wednesday night services? Because that's what conservative Christian churches do. That's not the answer. Why do you come here to worship on Sunday morning? We should be doing things for a purpose and with a purpose. And we should always make much of the Lord and His glory. We want to do everything to bring honor and glory to God and be obedient to the Great Commission. The evangelizing, the equipping, and the edifying. This is what God requires of us. Are you doing that? That's what we'll be speaking about next week. So tune in, because our mission is not done, and I hope you accept it. And I hope this message doesn't self-destruct. Father, help us. Help us to do what you have called us to do. And that is to glorify your name, to glorify and lift high your name. Lord, do that amongst us. And then help us to be obedient to the Great Commission, to evangelize the world, to edify the saint, to build up the church. And Lord, do this for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.